Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second period of J Talk Extra Time this week. I'm Stuart Smith, and the next voice you're going to hear on this Thursday morning is John Steele. John, how are you?
Stu, I'm very well, thanks. Good morning. It's not nice to talk while the sun is shining for once.
Yeah, I should clarify that. It's morning as in like 9 o'clock in the morning, not 1 o'clock in the morning when this kind of tomfoolery usually happens. John, we've already spoken about J2 this week, so why don't we show a bit of love to the third tier as well? And holy Christ, there are a lot of goals this past weekend, John.
Yes.
But as usual, there was no goals against Blaublitz Akita, as they remain top and they beat Fukushima United 2-0. John, this is bordering on the ridiculous, right? I mean, Akita are unbeaten thus far. They've only conceded 4 goals. They look nailed on for promotion, do they not?
Yeah, I think we're in danger of, just because of our time constraints and the fact that there's so many other games and goals to talk about, we perhaps don't give Akita enough credit, because it's almost boring at this point that they always win or draw and they don't let in any goals. I mean, you mentioned they've conceded 4, but I think at least a couple of those were in games where they were already like 3-0 up and they were like late consolations that didn't really affect anything. Yeah, and I've been waiting for them to slip up, and we're halfway through the season and they haven't. I think we've reached the point where even if they do slip up, I'm not sure there's a team behind them competent enough or good enough to actually take advantage of that. So I think, nailed on sounds like a good description. I know that's famous last words when it comes to the J-League. But, I mean, unless, you know, we talked about many times the goalkeeper, Yudai Tanaka, is the best in the league this season. He made some really good saves in the game against Fukushima at the weekend, as usual. An injury to him, you know, maybe could make a difference. I think he's very important to what they're doing defensively, obviously. But in terms of promotion, yes, I'd be a very brave man to bet against them at this point, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they what are they now? 15 points clear of Kumamoto in second place and 18 points clear of Nagano in third place. Akita remind me of like Lewis Hamilton in Formula One. It's just, you expect Akita to win, but like the kind of the repetition of it probably takes away some of the gloss on what they are actually doing, because what they are actually doing is phenomenal, but because it's become so second nature, we just kind of expect it.
I think another thing is that they don't really blow teams away.
Yes, like you're quite right. Yeah.
You mentioned there's been loads of goals in J3 over the weekend, but Akita, I mean, I don't think they've scored 4 this season, have they? They've had a couple of games where they scored 3.
Mm.
But they're not the type of team that blows you away. If they get a 2-0 lead, they just tend to sit on it. And that's not criticism. I think that's good game management. But yeah, I think in a weird way, they're not the most eye-catching runaway leaders, are they?
No, they're not. And yeah, I mean, that segues us on nicely to Kumamoto. I think, like, both of us have stated on this podcast over the course of the season that we probably think that Kumamoto are a nicer side on the eye to watch. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot more attacking verve, but they do have frailties at the back, and these are exposed by Gamba's under-23 side, who weathered a sustained amount of pressure, has to be said. Kumamoto had any number of chances to go in front, but Roasso Kumamoto actually ended up losing this game 2-0. Second half goals, first one was a beauty from substitute Tatsuya Yamaguchi, who smashed it in from 25 yards out. John, I mean, like, this is it's a bad result, but the performance wasn't that bad, was it?
Yeah, I think this we just chatted a little bit about this game before we pressed record, didn't we, Stu? And it was a weird, the first half especially, I think Kumamoto will be wondering how they weren't in front at half time. They had a shot cleared off the line, which was good defending. They hit the crossbar twice, and then they were kind of hit with, it's not fair to say they're 2 sucker punches, because Gamba's youngsters played well in the second half especially. But yeah, it's just a weird game. I think if one of their chances had gone in the first half, they would have been 1-0 up and probably gone on to win. But as the game went on at 0-0, Gamba came into it more. It became more open and they lost. I think they'd won three in a row before this game, so I don't think they'll be too disappointed. Managers often say, don't they, they're disappointed if they're not creating chances. As long as they're creating chances, they're not too worried. But still, you can't imagine Akita losing a game in that context, can you? So I think we have to maybe come to terms with the fact that we enjoy watching Kumamoto more, but they're probably not as resilient, certainly, as Akita, and that will probably mean that they don't catch up with Akita, I think, this season.
Yeah, I think it's all on for the second place, for the second promotion spot in J3 now. So let's look at some of the teams that will be vying or currently are vying for that second spot. We've got AC Nagano Parcero in third place now. They had an impressive 3-0 win away at Kagoshima United last weekend. They're the second kind of team after Gifu that have gone there and given Kagoshima a good going over. Two first half goals, excuse me, first from Ibuki Yoshida and the second from Kenta Hirose, and a late goal from Tsubasa Sano, whose form seems to be coming back to him. He had a wild spell over in Singapore scoring goals for fun. Hasn't really recreated that form back in Japan, but he seems to be getting on to his game right now. So a very good win for Nagano. In fourth place, we will find FC Gifu, who got their second win in a row under new manager Kenji Nakada. They beat Azul Claro Numazu 3-1 in a game which it doesn't really show how well Numazu played. They can consider themselves a bit unlucky. A very early goal from Hiroyuki Takasaki, and he doubled the lead after 20 minutes, and then it looked like it was game over. But from, say, the drinks break in the first half, Numazu played really well. They didn't get a goal until 15 minutes from time, Imamura Yosuke scoring from close range, and they pushed forward, but ultimately it was Gifu who got the deciding goal, Kensei Nakashima, after some good work from Shota Kawanishi. John, those two sides, Nagano and Gifu, obviously Gifu have changed their manager. They've experienced a bit of a new manager bounce. Nagano are looking pretty decent, aren't they?
Yeah, I think what was impressive about that win against Kagoshima was I think it was quite an easy, like, obviously Nagano and Gifu both won and scored three goals, but I think you're right to point out there's quite a big difference in how comfortable those wins were, and Nagano were never in any real danger, and I think they've pretty much finished off Kagoshima's slim hopes of promotion, haven't they? They're 11 points off and off the pace and not looking particularly good. So yeah, Nagano, very impressive, 5 straight wins for them. Gifu, it's weird because I do think there's probably more to come from the squad at Gifu, and I feel like I want to big them up because I know, obviously, near and dear to your heart. But yeah, I think at the moment, I think Nagano are going to take some stopping, aren't they? Because I think there is a nucleus of a good youngish team there, and I think if they get into a groove now, it might be difficult to kind of get past them, you know. But yeah, Gifu, I think having those two early goals was a big help, obviously. And then they rode their luck a little bit with it was Hiroki Akiyama, wasn't it, hit the bar for Numazu.
Yes.
Takuya Matsumoto, Gifu keeper, I think, has been very impressive this year, had to make some good saves. And Ko Yanagisawa, I think, was involved in a pretty heroic block.
It was a great
as well
block, yeah.
Yeah, which we don't often get to say, Gifu defenders make a great block. Well, let's be honest. So that was good to see. I think both. It's very difficult to say which of these teams has got more chance of catching up with Kumamoto. But I think you're very right to say it's all to play for. Kumamoto, probably the team I would choose to watch, you know, from an entertainment point of view. Nagano might even, I think they're more solid at the back than Kumamoto, aren't they? Not quite as explosive in the midfield and up front. And Gifu, I think there's potential there. Players like Kawanishi, we know scores goals. Takasaki, I think, has made a really good positive difference up front. Good target man. Ryoichi Maeda's there, obviously. He scored, but it was disallowed for offside in the game against Numazu. So, yeah, it's all to play for. I don't know what... I think I get the feeling it's going to be one of these three, to be honest. But
Kumamoto, Nagano, or Gifu?
Yeah, I think at the moment, yeah. I don't know. Fujie, they're perhaps sniffing around as well.
Well, Fujieda can do, particularly without 0-0 draws at home against Iwate, which is what they produced at the weekend. You'd have got long odds on Fujieda not being able to score against Gruzia. Fujieda are in fifth place. Gainari Tottori are in sixth place. They lost at Imabari. I think I'll let you describe Ken Tajiri's... assist, shall we say, for him about his first goal. Oh, is it second goal? First goal. And then, so that rounds up. Yeah, that rounds up the top six. John, just speak to us about Gainare Tottori versus Imabari, because Fujieda, of course they had their chances, but they couldn't do anything against Iwate. But Gainare Tottori are falling away, aren't they?
Yeah, I think long-term listeners will know that I'm still plugging away at the JPred Prediction League.
Sure.
On the Transfer Market website. And for a while, early on this season, I've been tipping Imabari to knock off a more illustrious rival at home. They never quite managed it. They always seem to draw or lose 1-0. So, of course, this is the week that I think I tipped Tottori to win 1-0. And then Imabari finally... got everything right. I mean, it's arguable that Tottori perhaps not a top team, as you were alluding to, but in terms of, from an Imabari perspective, I think it's a good scalp for them. And Tottori, I think that's four defeats in the last five. I think you were quite vocal earlier on this season saying they were high up there, but you didn't think they were that good. Is that fair?
Thank you for pointing out something I got right. That's
that's quite rare
in and of itself. Yeah, I mean, they they didn't look like, for me, they didn't look like a team that would be capable of sustaining a top two challenge. And that's not to say that they're a bad team, because they're not. They've come through like quite a difficult period. Off the pitch, they've come through like some difficult financial problems and financial things that they had to work their way through. The viability of the club is more important than their ability to get promotion this year, in my opinion. And the foundations that they're laying this year, by actually, even if they're not around the top two or top three, which I don't think they will be come the end of the year, but for them to be in the top half gives them at least a little bit of hope going into subsequent seasons, that they will be able to mount a challenge in the future in trying to get back to J2.
I do want to mention, as you said, Ken Tajiri, the Tottori goalkeeper. We gave the Ahn Jun-su award to Gunma's goalkeeper, didn't we? In the, but I think he's going to have to share it with Tajiri, who passed the ball straight to Masamichi Hayashi to make it 2-0 to Imabari in this game. You could kind of see this happening, because when he got the ball, he hadn't decided what he was going to do with it, which is all interesting. Once goalkeepers are outside their penalty area and they take possession, they don't seem that confident in the J-League. And then he did that kind of double touch thing that kids do, didn't he? Where the ball ricocheted off his standing foot. I mean, we talked about this on the JT podcast. Calling it a schoolboy error is not kind, not respectful enough to schoolboy. So, back to the drawing board for the sweeper system at Tottori, I think.
Just a little bit about Imabari, actually, John. There was some news, and I should loop back to Akita as well, actually. Imabari have made progress in their financial plans for a new stadium. They've kind of sourced almost three quarters of the funding for it, and they're hopeful to get some some tax rebates from the local area in order to fund the final part of it. So FC Imabari looking pretty good to start construction of their new stadium at sometime next year. And I saw a report yesterday that Blaublitz Akita have, along with four other kind of commercial ventures in Akita, put forward plans for a new stadium on the edge of Akita, something to do with a new train station being built and land being opened up for commercial use. And so two teams that should be forward thinking, so Akita looking good for promotion to J2 and Imabari looking to cement themselves in the J-League itself, both with concrete plans, albeit both in the planning stage for new stadium. That can only be good news for the J-League.
Concrete plans is a good pun, I think, when we're talking about construction of new stadiums as well. Maybe it's going to help Akita to count their attendance figures a bit more accurately, maybe, if they have a new...
In case you don't know what John's referring to there, Akita were dinged for inflation of their attendance figures. Why does that matter? Well, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things for licensing the way it does, say, for teams that want to get from the amateur or like the semi-professional JFL to J3, they need to demonstrate a supporter base. So they need to have a certain amount of supporters coming to their games on a weekly basis. That doesn't count for the J-League itself. It doesn't count for promotion from J3 to J2. But what it does do is, if you inflate the attendance figures, you can then start to charge more for advertising space within the stadium. Which I don't want to say it's fraud, but I'm trying to think of a different way to
creative accounting.
Creative accounting, there you go. They're not the first team to have done this. Almir Adija got positively hammered for this a couple of seasons ago. Ehime FC are pretty streetwise when it comes to their accounting and attendance figures, etc. So, Blaublitz Akita, I think they got a fine from the J League. I can't remember how much it was, but yeah, they shouldn't have done it, and they got pulled up on it. So, a small blot on their otherwise impeccable copybook this year. John, let's kind of wrap up this J3 because we still have a lot of goals to go through. Seven of which came at YSCC. Unfortunately for them, they conceded six of them, as Seretse Osaka's under 23 went buck wild in Yokohama. They thumped YSCC 6-1. I mean, we've had a 10 goal thriller. It must be something where the under 23s go to YSCC. They love it down there.
Yeah, I think it's definitely all bets are off, aren't they, with these kind of games. It was weird, especially because it was goalless until the 35th minute in this game. And then YSCC got into a mess at the back. Kento Dodate is quite an experienced defender, lost the ball, and Ryudai Maeda put Seretse in front. And it was 1-0 at the break, but then Seretse scored three goals in 5 minutes at the start of the second half. So headers from Ryuya Nishio and Kota Ohashi, and a very nice individual goal from Takiya Shimamura. YSCC got one back midway through the second half. Shoma Otoizumi, the striker, was brought down by Seretse's goalkeeper Shu Mogi. Takuya Miyamoto scored the penalty. That's his 10th goal of the season, so he's doing pretty well for a team that's in the wrong half of the table. But Maeda scored again to make it 5-1 with 40 minutes left, and Kuraba Kondo came on as a sub and scored pretty much instantly after coming on, going clean through and beating the keeper. So a weird game because the goals were kind of bunched together. When you look at the score sheet, it wasn't it didn't look like a 6-1 game until it was 6-1, I think. If that makes that sort of not exactly groundbreaking analysis, but you know what I mean.
YSCC have conceded 38 goals this year. That's the worst in the league. But they scored 26. I mean, this isn't the time or the place for it, but they are an interesting case to have a look at kind of what exactly it is that they're doing in the J League.
So almost as if the results aren't the most important thing, isn't it? I mean, that, I don't know that for a fact, but I mean, it's what you can conclude from. They play with three at the back, rain or shine, come what may. And the three that play there are often very exposed. And you know, most managers would change that, but I think Yuki Stalf, the manager, has principles that must, you know, that he wants to adhere to, and I think the club are on board with that.
My hot take is that he won't be there next year. I think another team will look at him and think, yeah, we can implement his system with better players in a possibly in J3, but I would say they might be a J2 side looking at him, Jubilo. And so maybe, well, not maybe, YSC need to fix their defensive worries first. But a team that has been in a tunnel for a long time finally came out of it a little bit. We're talking, of course, about Kamatamari Sanaki. They won 4-2. At home against Vanrare Hachinohe. Only their second win of the year. Noah Kenshin Brown gave them an early lead. A couple of goals from Shigematsu Kentaro and a Yuki Ikeya goal, which had no business being scored in J3. That was a rocket. The 781 people watched this game in the stadium, John. Obviously, it's a great win for Kamatamari Sanaki, but 780 is not a very good look, is it?
Yeah, it's very bad. I think we can say Sanaki, you know, it's only the second win of the season all in all, and it's their first home win, right? So I think we can perhaps factor that into the attendance as well, and obviously coronavirus restrictions are an issue. But yeah, I think they really, I think on the field, Hachinohe are pretty much on the beach, aren't they, at this point?
Yes.
Well, I think Sanaki are another one. Which team were we talking about in the J2 pod? Was it Ehime kind of being a little bit asleep at the wheel? I think Sanaki got that same kind of feeling of like, there's no, I mean, I haven't done, I'm saying this with very little research, but I think as someone with my finger on the pulse, if there was a big project happening at Sanaki, I'd know about it. And there's nothing. They do have this interesting sideline in a kind of Mito and Gifu sense of, I don't know if it's a deliberate policy, half Japanese players. You know, like Marco J. Kurita.
Yep.
And then this another half Japanese striker, Noah Kenshin Brown, scoring his first goal in the J League in this game. So if that's a deliberate policy, it's interesting. I apologize if anybody doesn't like the term half Japanese. I apologize. I'm not out to. That's just, you know, I think some people don't like being called half. Apologies if. Okay, yeah. But you know what I mean? Factual description.
Yes. I think Brown's on loan from Yokohama F. Marinos.
I'd heard the name before.
I'm pretty sure he's on loan from Marinos. Okay.
Not much chance of taking him permanently then, probably.
Well, I don't want to rag on the guy, but judging by his performances and his lack of goals in J3, I don't think there's a chance that Marinos will take him. He's not going to get in front of Nakagawa or Eric or Marcus Jr. or people like that. But I mean, I think we've spoken before about it. They need to have a plan. They need to be able to show, look, this is what we want to do. This is how we consider getting there. If we have to take 2 years to be absolute shit, but it's all in the process, I think people would understand that, because we can't all, like, not every team can be backed by Rakuten. We can't just spunk 25 million euros a year on certain players. Like, it needs a, but that's the thing, it needs a bit of foresight, and it needs needs someone with a firm grasp of what needs to be done. And the biggest thing for Kamatamari Sanaki is the emergence of Imabari. I mean, Imabari are going to put up a brand new stadium. They're probably going to cannibalize a bit of Kamatamari Sanaki's kind of casual support. I mean, not that there is a lot of casual support for them, is my guess here. I think Sanaki need to kind of understand what the situation is at the moment, and that goes for Ekime as well. I mean, Imabari are an existential threat to both of them. So
I think yeah. That our club consultancy business is
blooming. It's going well. We're giving away the free.
What I would say is I think managing or even creating a supporter expectation is hugely important, because if you take YSCC as an example, they'd be happy with 781 fans for a home game.
Yes.
And fans turn up there expecting a chilled out family atmosphere, an entertaining game, and hopefully a win, but it's no biggie if there isn't one. Whereas if you look at the atmosphere at places like, and I totally get it, places like Sendai and places like Urawa, people and Marinos, people pay a lot of money and they want to watch a competitive team winning football matches and challenging for trophies.
Yes.
You know, and at Saniki, I think if I was living there and wanted to, be like, I don't know which one of these I'm going to watch. Am I going to watch a team that's happy to be there?
Mm.
Or am I watching a team that's actually, I'm like, Imabari has that feeling of a project, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And Saniki has that feeling of like, maybe there was a project a decade ago.
Mm.
And now it's floundering. And I think especially in the current climate, you know, the coronavirus, it's asking people to put money in that they don't know it's going to be. Vegalta Sendai fans had the same question. Like, you're asking us to donate money. Could you tell us what for?
Yes.
Where's the money going? And I think it's a crucial, existential is the word, I think, for the Saniki. You have to come up with an answer to that question.
Jesus, we said we'd be brief, and we've ended up talking about existential threats on the island of Shikoku. So
yeah.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up. Let's look at the fixtures for this coming week. There's another game on Friday. Those cheeky Seretse Osaka under-23s are hosting Imabari on Friday night. There's a sprinkling of interesting games, but I think, and I'm trying not to be biased here, I think the biggest game of the weekend is on Sunday when FC Gifu travel to Raso Kumamoto. I'm loath to say it, but if Gifu lose this, they'll be 10 points behind Kumamoto, and I think that might be too much to make up. Even though Gifu have a game in hand, that game in hand is against Akita. So if they go 10 points behind Kumamoto, I'm very pessimistic that Gifu will have a chance of promotion. Looking at the slate, John, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're very right to say that Kumamoto against Gifu is the pick of the games on Sunday. I think Nagano hosting Sagamihara, third versus seventh on Saturday, looks interesting. I would expect Nagano to comfortably win that game, but Sagamihara have surprised me before this season. They've surprised me by playing well, and they've surprised me by playing badly. We should mention that Sagamihara beat Toyama 3-2.
Oh, did I miss that game? Sorry. Yeah,
we skipped that game out, but yeah, again, you know, Toyama beat Sagamihara 3-0 in the reverse game a couple of months back, or maybe a month or so back. So Sagamihara, you kind of don't know what you're going to get if they click. They could give Nagano some problems. I actually don't think they will in this game. But I'm saying it's a possibility. Yeah, Toyama against Tottori, also an interesting one, perhaps. I think defeat for Tottori there would move them closer to the Gifu territory of perhaps being too far behind, I think, behind Kumamoto.
Yeah, like I said, a sprinkling of good games. Should just point out Gamba under-23 versus YSCC. The last time these two teams met, it was 5-all. So maybe a both teams to score prop bet might be a wise investment here, I think. Okay then, John. Yeah, thanks for that. It's been a bit of a whirlwind, but I think we've covered all that needs to be covered in J3. I'd just like to say a big thank you to the Patreons who continue to fund us and continue to help us out. And we hope that everyone's enjoying the content that we're going to put out. But until the next time that we speak, please enjoy your football, please stay safe, and we'll speak to you next time. But goodbye for now.